Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. What if a nation engaged in biological warfare research accidentally released a virus that spread throughout the world? That is a scenario being played out right now. The epicenter of the coronavirus is Wuhan, China. Biological warfare is nothing new and has been practiced for centuries. Besieging armies would launch infected bodies over the walls to weaken the defenders. The Nazis conducted chemical and biological experiments on concentration camp inmates during World War II, and select men were shielded from prosecution to help the United States develop its own weapons program. Only time will tell if the coronavirus becomes a pandemic. It could be the catastrophic event that launches the Antichrist to power. This message is entitled, The Coronavirus. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church worldwide. And I'm recording this message in February 2020. I was scheduled to preach a certain message, but this week the Lord has been dealing with me. I spent about 3 days on this particular message, and I want to share that with you today. And let's just pray right now. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for ministering to us. I pray, Lord, you will help me to prepare and to speak this message that you have given to me. And I just want to bless you right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I have told you over the years that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, it's going to be a catastrophic event or events in the world that is going to open the way for him to come into power. And he's not going to come into power with military might. He's going to come into power because there's going to be a global crisis so great that the different heads of the nations are simply going to say, this is too big for one nation to take care of. We're going to have a global solution. I do not know if we are there now or not, but this is something that could happen, and it depends upon how things are going to play out. So let me just share this with you here, and I'm going to be talking to you about biological warfare and the coronavirus. Now, most people do not have a criminal mind and the thought that some government agency could be using germs and viruses as a military weapon is unthinkable. But the reality is that biological warfare has been taking place since the 1920s, and the worst offending nations were Germany, Japan, the Soviet Union, and Iraq. Stephen Strang, the owner of Charisma Ministry in Florida, interviewed an American teacher by the name of Alexandra Rodriguez, who is a church member of Faith Assembly in Orlando, Florida. And this interview took place February 20th, 2020. Alexandra had in September 2019 signed a teaching contract for 10 months to teach English at the school in the Chinese city of Wuhan. Many Christians in the U.S. want to do mission work in China, and the only way to do that is to have a secular job as a cover to share your faith in Christ for the people that are there. Let me just give a little bit of information about the city of Wuhan. I did not even know the city existed until the corona problem showed up. The Wuhan is the epicenter of the outbreak of the coronavirus. This is the large modern city of some 11 million people. There are a number of American and European corporations having factories in the city, which are three national zones for location of factories. Some of the most well-known factories are Nissan, Honda, General Motors, IBM, Honeywell, Siemens, and Walmart. It is also home to a large steel industry. It also has the four scientific and technology parks, 350 research institutes, 1,656 high-tech enterprises. The large state-owned Dongfeng Motor Corporation is headquartered in the city. This factory is also producing parts for Nissan, French Peugeot, Citroën, and Renault, plus other auto manufacturers. In 2014, this plant produced 3.5 million automobiles and 450,000 trucks. The city also has two universities. Let me tell you the story of Alexandra Rodriguez. Alexandra stated, toward the end of December 2019, she had heard about the coronavirus. And according to the Chinese state-controlled media, it was stated it was just a new strain of flu, and people were encouraged to make sure that they washed their hands. Alexandra and some American friends decided to take a 10-day vacation to Thailand, and there were no restrictions for them to fly out to the city. When they came back on January 21st, 2020, she said the city was a ghost city. Everything was shut down. She and her friends purchased food to last there for a few weeks, and in the meantime, the State Department started to send in charter flights to bring Americans out, and she was able to get out and was placed in quarantine in the U.S. Alexandra stated that rumors from the communist government stated the virus had originated at an exotic meat market. The communist government tried to hide the numbers of people that got sick, and it was obvious that the government was in a mood of damage control. Strange also reported that Pastor Frank Amedia, who are working with Chinese Christians, stated that the people are seeking out Christians for healing since there is no cure for the virus. Pastor Amedia also reported that the death toll is much higher than what the communist government has stated. Chinese missionary Dennis Balcom confirmed that in the midst of the crisis, where the communist government is powerless, Jesus is active in China, and people are defying the government and turning to God. The result is that people have been healed, and then the news spread like wildfire, and more people are coming to be prayed for. What the devil meant for evil, God is turning around, and something good is coming out of this. Now, let me go back now and share some things what has happened. Dr. Lee Wenlang, he was an eye doctor, and he worked at the hospital in Wuhan. And he noticed among his patients, he had seven patients that he thought had the SARS virus, S-A-R-S, which is a virus engineered that was spreading about 2003, and that caused a global epidemic. On December 30th, he sent a message to fellow doctors in that group, warning them to wear protective clothing to avoid infection. The local communist commissar in Wuhan summoned him to the Public Security Bureau. He was accused of making false statements that he had severely disturbed the social order. He was given a written warning. We solemnly warn you, if you keep being stubborn with such information that you're giving out and continue this illegal activity of warning people, you will be brought to justice. There were eight other people in Wuhan who was accused by the communist government to spreading rumors. Conveniently for the communist government, Dr. Wendlang was infected by the coronavirus, and he died on February 7, 2020. And as you know, dead men do not talk. I want to talk now and share with you about biological warfare laboratory, because a lot of people, particularly Christians, are not educated in this area. The communist regime in China has been and is doing research in biological warfare. They hide it by constructing biosafety laboratories, which they claim are used to research virus infection. In 2015, the National Biosafety Laboratory Level 4, and they are called BSL-4, was built outside the city of Wuhan. The communist government of China used French engineers to make sure that the laboratory was built to specifications. The Chinese are not that good in the field of biosafety, and some years earlier, warfare biological laboratories in Beijing had lost control over the SARS virus, which is known as severe acute respiratory syndrome. U.S. molecular biologist Richard E. Ebright raised concern over the safety as the Chinese government built a string of biological warfare laboratories across China. By 2017, the BSL-4 lab in Wuhan was working on doing research of SARS and Ebola. That was the official line. Warnings were sent out by a number of international scientists that the lab was not safe enough and it could lead to a catastrophic effect if a dangerous virus would escape the lab. As I'm going to show in this message and this article, biological warfare is not new, and it is a choice weapon to defeat a nation in an undeclared war. And the reason for that is that the buildings, machinery, everything is intact. The only thing gone are people. That's much better warfare than nuclear weapons or regular bombing. It would be hard for a nation like the United States to prove that China developed a biological weapon and unleashed it on the United States. It is interesting that this Sunday morning, Russia has gone to the aid of China, and their propaganda machine is simply saying this, that the coronavirus is a biological agent developed by the United States and used to attack China. So there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of stuff going on out there, and so I'm going to try to share some things with you that I believe are some true facts. If a nation like China would unleash the coronavirus in the United States, it would only do so after it had created a vaccine. Now, if you're going to fight with a biological weapon, you want to make sure that after you develop it, you got a vaccine so that you can vaccinate your own population so they will not get the disease, and the enemy is the one that's going to be dying. It is noteworthy that in February, just a few days ago, a research team led by Shi Sengi from the Wuhan BSL-4 lab had applied for a patent to use remdesivir, an experimental drug owned by the American company Gilead Sciences, which immediately raised concerns regarding international property rights. Now, China is a hostile nation. Since the time of the end of the Vietnam War, 1975, China has tried to expand its influence in the world. It is interesting that after the war ended, Vietnam was pressured by China to give up fishing rights and mineral rights in their territorial waters. Vietnam quietly began to turn to the United States for support against Chinese aggression, and the economy of Vietnam today and its military strength is due to American investment in that country. The United States has been defending Taiwan since 1949 and the small islands between Taiwan and China. We have the 7th Fleet that has been stationed there since 1949. The Chinese were rebuffed during the Korean War 1950-53. Since 2013, China has expanded way beyond its territory and constructed man-made islands in the South China Sea and then placed troops and aircraft on them and declared that the South China Sea belongs to China. This has been infringing not only Vietnam, but also the Philippines and a number of other nations in the regions. China is also clashing with the United States in space. It has placed a number of killer satellites threatening U.S. satellites. As long as the United States is a strong world power, China will not be able to expand. The United States, according to the Chinese government, has to go. Now, let me take you back in time here. In the 1930s, the Japanese had a very right-wing government, and they were Shinto Buddhism. And Japan decided to simply, the islands were too small for them. And they started a war against China back in about 1932. And they expanded into Manchuria. And then, of course, in 1941, they declared war by attacking Hawaii, Pearl Harbor. But they took the Philippines, they took Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, Singapore, and they expanded greatly into Southeast Asia. There's a spiritual power here. There are archons, and the Japanese wanted to rule as much territory as possible. And it took the atomic bomb to break the neck of the Japanese war spirit, and they had to retreat. Now China is repeating what Japan did in the 1930s. I want to share with you what I believe that the Lord has shown me. As a Chinese biological scientist, we're working to perfect a biological weapon against the United States. It created the coronavirus. Antibiotics does not work against the virus. There are some medicines used to fight the virus. But if a human body is healthy to begin with, its human system, its immune system will eventually fight the invaders off. Oxygen treatment is another method to fight the virus. They cannot live in an oxygen-rich atmosphere. And using a 35% hydroperoxide solution can be helpful. Since we are back to the times as he was before Noah, scientists can splice genes, change viruses to mutate, and create a monster virus that will attack the respiratory system in a human being. The delivery system of a virus is fairly simple. They do all they need are containers with a virus, place them at airports, train stations, bus depots, etc. To infect America, all they would have to do is to select a large city and release the virus. Now, once the virus enters a human, the virus will now multiply in a human, and surplus of the virus will be spread through coughing, breathing, or skin contact. Each infected human will become a virus factory that will continue until the person succumbs to the disease. This is why the governments are mandating quarantines for people infected or to be believed to have been infected. And this is the only way they have to stop spreading it, is by simply locking people down. A person infected by the coronavirus can have the virus up to 14 days. Now, these are specially made in laboratories. So they have simply a designer virus. You get infected. Nothing shows for 14 days. But in those 14 days, what will happen to you is that that person is not contagious and will spread a virus, not knowing that he himself is sick. Thus, a person with a virus showing no symptoms is a walking factory spreading it to others. It is interesting that the nation of Israel made a drastic decision yesterday, and they simply made a decision that they will not allow any people coming in from South Korea or Japan. And the Japanese government and the South Korean government is upset. They had one huge airplane landing yesterday in Tel Aviv, and there was about 20 Israelis on board. They were allowed to come off. They put them in the quarantine. And then they simply told the pilot, "We're going to give you gas. Go back home." They cannot even get off of the tarmac. They turned that airplane around. Now, the Israeli government, simply, they are a small nation. About 9 million people there. Very small territory. And they know that if the disease gets in there and spread, it can wipe that population out. They're not taking any chances. It is also very interesting that President Trump, in his rallies, has not really spoken about it. None of the Democratic candidates are speaking about it. The media is mentioning it here and there and yonder. But this is a subject right now that the leadership of the United States is simply saying, we don't want to talk about it. We don't know if you got a handle on it. And right now, it is iffy if we will have a pandemic or if they will be able to contain it. Infection can take place with skin contact. And thus it would be important not to touch people who are infected. Not only infected people will die, but it can take up to 4 weeks before an infected person dies. I believe that God allowed the coronavirus to escape the laboratory in order for the communist regime to be attacked by its own weapon system. God turned their own evil against them, and the question is, how many people will die before it is over? The Chinese New Year was January 25th. This is the biggest holiday in China. It can be compared to Christmas in the United States. And at New Year, everybody in China travels back to where they were born. The whole country is on the move, just like they have traveled in America during Christmas time and Thanksgiving. Before the quarantine took place in Wuhan, they had estimated that 5 million people of Wuhan left to travel back to wherever they came from in China. Those people did not come back. No one knows how many were infected. And this is probably why there's going to be outbreaks in different places in China. Once the Chinese government realized what they had on their hands, they shut down the provinces around Wuhan and the city itself. There's some 60 million people told to stay put and not go anywhere. Public transportation is shut down. No one is working. People are not allowed to use their cars, and the stores are empty of food. Infected people are put into the back of army trucks and carted off. Makeshift hospitals have been built. Matter of fact, they built one hospital in 3 days. Unbelievable. There are no funerals in Wuhan right now and any other Chinese places. The government has taken over all crematories And according to information leaking out from the people, they are incinerated dead bodies 24/7. The estimate is that more than 50,000 people have died of the coronavirus, and the more are dying every day. The amount of cremated bodies are so great that on satellite pictures over Wuhan, the sulfur dioxide level in the air is so high that it shows up on satellite images. As of February 22nd, the unofficial death toll in China alone is more than 50,000 persons. Since China is a communist dictatorship, the military has shut the doors to the apartment houses. And by the way, in China, you don't have single family homes. It is all apartment houses, big complexes. And what they've done is, the doors with metal doors, they have welded them shut. Some of the phone videos smuggled out show people being manhandled, thrown to the floor, and then in the back of a truck. No one is moving in Wuhan or in the province. When Mao Zedong and his communist horde took power in China in 1949, the first decree for the butcher was that all Christian missionaries were to leave China at once. After the order Christian church be closed and then started the persecution of the church, with the blood running in a death camp from pastors, church leaders, and members. In time, before Mao Zedong died and went to hell, he had ordered the murder of 80 million people. President Xi, the nice, smiling, communist president today, and the current communist leadership continue to spill the blood of God's people. And I believe that the cup is not full, and God could use this catastrophic event in China to unseat the communists. I believe that God is going to get honor from the President Xi, just like he did on Pharaoh. I'm reading to you now from Exodus chapter 14, verse number 17. And now behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. They shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. We need to pray for the people in China, believers as well as unbelievers, as most likely millions are going to die. It's a sad thing for a Christian to die but you go to heaven. But I want you to know, there's about maybe 200 million Christians in China. About 800 million are not Christians. And when they die, they go straight to hell. I want to give you now a history of biological warfare. I had worked on this for probably 10, 15 years, and I presented different papers over the years. And this is going to be a very condensed form for just to present to you and understand what has happened and what will happen. During the Trump presidency, we have learned a new phrase, the deep state. Now, President Trump has brought to the surface the real truth. There's a cabal of people working behind the scenes in Washington, D.C. It does not matter who is the president. These people are able to shape American policies and commit the most horrible atrocities without being punished. Most of you that are watching me today do not remember President Dwight Eisenhower. When Eisenhower ended his second term, he had a warning. Now, he was a military man. He was a yes man. He had worked for the world government. And his warning was this. He said, now, you have to watch out for the military-industrial complex. And this is true of today. The deep state people are controlled by the unseen world government, whose purpose is to prepare the world for a global world dictator. As they are getting old, they are replaced with younger people, and this group exists from decade to decades. Now, the Kabbalistic system works this way. You always recruit new people, you train them, you know, they notice that we might not succeed in this generation. So, but there's a continuity, because the same people are trained, they train another group of people, and so on, next generation. The deep state wanted to get a hold of the people who had worked and developed biological warfare in Nazi Germany as well as in Japan. I'm taking that to 1945. American Counterintelligence Corps, known as CIC agents, followed the American soldiers as the German was conquered in 1945. One of the most sought-after Nazi criminals was the German health director, Kurt Blum, who was a medical doctor and a research scientist. In 1943, he was in charge of biological warfare, and as such, he had his own research laboratory. Around his compound was a 10-foot wall, which was guarded by an SS detachment. Inside there were cold rooms, incubators, deep freezers, steam chambers. Thousands of men and women were used in his lab, infected with viruses, germs, and exposed to nerve gas. And the suffering of the afflicted of these victims cannot be told in words. It was horrible. They would take people that are fully well, infect them with this germ, this virus, whatever it is. They would put them in freezer rooms. They would do all kind of experiment with them. Matter of fact, in one time they want to find out exactly how nerve gas works on it. They used Cyclone B gas, and they would simply put prisoners in a chamber, have cameras on them, and they would look through the windows. They let the gas come out, and they timed it how long it took for them to die. This guy, Kurt Blum, was a monster. Now, he was wanted by the American biological warfare people in Maryland. He was arrested by CIC agents on May 17, 1945. Secretary of War, in that day we didn't have a defense minister, they were Secretary of War, Henry Stimson, recognized that the Japanese had an advanced biological warfare program, and Stimson ordered the U.S. military to protect Blum and to eventually bring him to the United States under Operation Paperclip and have him work at the U.S. Biological Warfare Department. He went to trial in Nuremberg, despite that he was guilty of having killed probably at least 100,000 people. They found him not guilty. And 2 months after his acquittal at Nuremberg, he was interviewed by American biological warfare expert from Camp Dietrich in Maryland. Camp Dietrich is a dirty place in Maryland. That's where they do biological warfare and so on. Now, he was considered too dirty to be brought to the United States, and instead, he was hired, and in 1951, he worked for the U.S. Army Chemical Corps, and the official duty was to work on chemical warfare, which was a cover for biological warfare. This war criminal was so valuable to the American warfare of biology that there's something, we're not going to hang this criminal, this butcher. We need him. We need his records. We need to have all his research. Ira Baldwin was a professor at the University of Wisconsin and headed up the Department of Bacteriology. In 1943, he was asked by the Army to head up what became known as the U.S. Army Biological Warfare Laboratories at Camp Dietrich in Maryland. One of the agents produced at the American BioLab was anthrax. Now, back in about 1944, England, Churchill was very nervous. He simply was afraid that the Germans would unleash biological weapons since they were losing the war. Churchill asked President Roosevelt for him to produce anthrax. And despite objection, they produced tons of anthrax, which were then put into artillery shells and bombs, shipped to England, so that England, in case they were attacked biologically, they would simply wipe out the German population. What is anthrax? This is a highly infectious bacteria that causes fever, chest pain, shortness of breath, diarrhea, nausea, and vomiting. And the death rate has a mortality rate of 50 to 80%. I want to talk to you now about testing, of biological warfare testing. It is not enough to have a biological warfare labs. Testing must be done, and it can only be done by using people. The deep state in the United States ordered tests in 1950, and the testing ground was the city of San Francisco. From September 20th to the 27th, 1 week in 1950, U.S. Navy ships equipped with dispensers started to spray into the sea fog a mixture of Serratia marcescens and Bacillus globicil bacteria. The Navy had set up 43 locations in the city to monitor that enough bacteria had been sprayed to cover all 800,000 people. That was the population in 1950 of San Francisco. Isn't that nice? They make sure that they have enough bacteria to cover all 800,000 people. By October 11th, 1950, 11 patients had been admitted to Stanford Hospital, all having rare, serious urinary tract infections. One of them later died. In the 1977 Senate subcommittee hearings, the U.S. Army disclosed that they had directed the Navy to do the testing and that no local government official were told about it. There has been people coming down with pneumonia, and a number of other people died because of the spraying. I'm making a statement. The American government cannot be trusted. I'm going to give you the following facts here. And these are just a few, the tip of the iceberg. This came out in 1977 Senate hearings of a subcommittee. From 1949 to 1969, open-air tests of biological agents were conducted 239 times. In 80 of these tests, live bacteria was used. It turned out that the bacteria was not harmless, and it caused sickness among people that could not be explained. Secondly, in the 1950s, Army biological warfare researchers sprayed Serratia bacteria over Panama City and Key West in Florida. The Army did not release any data how many people got sick. Point number three. In the 1950s, Army biological researchers released from aircraft the cancer-causing agent zinc cadmium sulfide over Minnesota and other Midwestern states to find out how they would spread in the air. Particles were detected more than 1,000 miles away in the state of New York. If there was a follow-up, it was never disclosed to the public. Thus, it is not known how many people got sick. Number four, a favorite trick of the U.S. Army at this time period was to have a spraying dispenser at the back of a car and then to have a U.S. serviceman drive the car on the streets. This was done in the cities of San Francisco, New York, Washington, D.C., and on the roads in Pennsylvania. The agents used this time was Bacillus globigerum. No data is available how many people got sick. And point number four. In 1966, military planners in the United States wondered what would happen if a foreign government spread bacteria in a subway system. Glass containers looking like light bulbs were used by army agents. The glass containers were filled by Bacillus subtilis, which the government thought to be harmless. Army agents dressed like civilians would get into the subway in the midtown Manhattan and then throw them on the tracks where they broke. Testing to different stations along the subway, they found that the pathogenic agent traveled miles through the subway system. Point number five. During the month of May 1965, Bacillus globigerum was released in the air at Washington National Airport and at the Greyhound Bus Depot. It was a controlled experiment covering 130 people on that particular bus. We traveled to 39 cities in 7 states. Again, no data has been released for the government how many people got sick from this experiment. What they wanted to do was this. They wanted to find out, as these 39 people spread out the United States, how many people they would infect. In other words, this is testing biological warfare. Now I want to talk about a test that I am personally was not involved, but I lived in Salt Lake City in 1968, and I remember this very, very vividly. It took place at Dugway Proving Ground. Dugway Proving Ground is a U.S. Army base some 100 miles west of Salt Lake City. The base had a laboratory, and they were testing different forms of anthrax. It was also used for testing weapons of mass destruction, like nerve gas, and during the years of testing, some 500,000 pounds of nerve gas was released in the air. According to released record from the Army, there were 332 open-air testing of biological weapons, including 74 dirty bomb tests. A dirty bomb is a regular bomb where they have mixed in radioactive material. So when a bomb explodes, it also spreads radioactive material and contaminate people and kill them. On March 13, 1968, the Army conducted a nerve gas testing. An artillery shell loaded with nerve gas was tested, and an open pit of 160 gallons of nerve gas was released and allowed to evaporate. At the same time, a U.S. Air Force plane was used to spray nerve gas over an open range area where they had set up testing stations. I lived in Salt Lake City at that time, and I remember the reporting on television that suddenly they came and said that 6,000 sheep had died suddenly, and they were spread all over the ranch where they were grazing. And, of course, the Army said, we had nothing to do with that. We will never do such a thing. And eventually it came out that they had simply, the nerve gas had drifted outside the proving ground, and it killed 6,000 sheep that died instantly. Let me give you a summary at this time. The government of the different nations do not like to tell the people that they are involved in biological warfare testing and that most nations have them in their arsenals. Therefore, it should not come as a surprise that China has biological warfare labs and that they have planned to use it on the United States. The different intelligence services in Russia, China, Iran, etc., know all about the American biological warfare program, including the use of nerve gases. In order to deter the U.S. from using it, they produce their own weapons, And thus the people in the world are living in an unsecure environment. One mistake and a slip of death is on the way, like the corona virus. As Christians, now what can we do? And we're going to read a scripture here from Mark chapter 16, verse number 17 through 20. Now, I did not enjoy presenting a message like this, but I felt so compelled. I prayed to God that I'm wrong. I prayed to God that this would not be a pandemic, that they'd be able to control it and put the stuff back in the box again. But what I'm saying to you is this. The World Health Organization, the general director of that, has come out now for several days and said the window of opportunity to contain the coronavirus is shrinking day by day. This could be a catastrophic event in the world. If it is a catastrophic event in the world, and it begins to infect hundreds of millions of people, there's going to be a cry for a global solution. It is interesting. None of the Democratic candidates are talking about it. President Trump is not talking about it. He doesn't want to cause panic. But I can tell you this, that the authorities in the United States, including the military and other authorities, they are ready. And if it spreads here, there will be clampdowns, there will be quarantines, nothing will move. And you might have martial law. We can pray against this, but I believe that as Christians, we should not have our heads in the sand. We should simply realize this is the evil world we live in. This is what has happened. This is what they did. They're doing it again. Let me read to you from Mark 16, 17 through 20. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was freed up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now, we're going to have to move into the supernatural. Last week, I was not here preaching. I was in the hospital. And I want to share with you what bacteria and virus can do to your body. 2 weeks ago, on a Monday daytime, I was at the gym. I have gone back to the gym. I just started working myself up. And I had a very good workout. I was very proud of myself. And I thought, man, I'm coming up. I'm back to where I used to be. Tuesday, we're going to have prayer meeting at night. And I was kind of lazy. Had to go shopping a little bit. And I thought about, I'm going to buy some potato salad. I bought them at Sprouts. They are organic, no preservatives in them. And I said, well, I wanted to look over it. And I want to share that with you now. When the Holy Spirit speaks, listen. I looked up upon, there was a salad bowl sitting up on the counter. It was not refrigerated. And I felt a voice in my say, don't buy it. Well, I'd lazy. And I simply said, I'm going to buy it. So I bought it in a container, not a whole lot. Went home. Before prayer meeting. Had some meat already made. Got the potato salad. Took one bite. Didn't taste good. Tasted a bit bitter. And again, the Holy Spirit told me, don't eat it. Well, I felt, you know, I prayed for it. I got it here. I got no time to do something else. So I ate it. The next day, I was getting sick. Now, I thought, I'll shake this off. So Wednesday, I had to do some taping in here for a message. And I told the guys, I'm not feeling very good at all. I felt like death warmed over, but I was able to present the message. Thursday, I was beginning to wilt. Friday, I couldn't walk. Friday night, I couldn't walk. I did not barely know my name. I didn't know my birth date. I didn't know what day it was. I was just sitting on the kitchen table. My brother came in. He said, you are going to the hospital. I said, why shouldn't I go to the hospital? He told me, shut up. They got me in, and they put me on IV, intravenous stuff. I had not the penicillin. I had antibiotics, and I had a high fever, 103. I was in La La Land. That bacteria had spread. They later found out I had E. coli bacteria, which is a very powerful bacteria that can do you a lot of damage. Well, I prayed a lot. People prayed for me. And by Sunday, I went home, and I'm here today a week later. But here's what I'm going to tell you. You might be strong as a horse. If you get some germs or virus, you can be taken down in hours. And from being a powerful person with a strong body, you'd be weak like a kitten. And you're just laying around. You lost all your power. That's the power of bacteria and of viruses. Did I learn something from this? Yes, I did. Next time the Holy Spirit speaks, listen. And this is what we need to learn as we come into these times. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit. If he tells you, go here, do this, do not do that, you got to say, yes, sir. And you got to obey. I believe you got to stand on this here. That even if you're in an area where it's sprayed, even if you meet someone that's contagious, I believe with the power of the Holy Spirit, we simply do not have to succumb to it. I'd say this, in the name of Jesus, if a germ or virus land on my body, they will die when they land on my body. Because I have the Holy Spirit within me. So, this is not an uplifting message. It's a downer. But you need to know the facts. You can check things out. We will have this documentation available. Probably take about a week or so to get it formatted and to have it edited. And we will have it available. So, let's pray that this is not it. Would you stand with me as we pray? My Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you right now that this pandemic is not going to take place. That Father God, in your mercy, you will intervene. And as Lord, nothing shall happen. That Father God, this will pass. And that we will escape again the clutches of the Antichrist. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. If you're watching me and you're not saved, this is the time to simply say, Jesus, I need a Savior. I need to be born again. You just ask God to forgive your sins. Confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross, rose on the third day. And through his death and resurrection, you can be saved. You pray that prayer. When we finish here, you will see the screen will change. Three crosses will come up. And you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles Terrell that will simply say, my friend. And then he will take you in and show you exactly about salvation. So, my prayer is this. If I scared you, well, I'm sorry about that. But if I can scare you to get saved, praise the Lord. And to those of you that are saved and walking with the Lord, this is the time to pray. This is the time not to be scared, but this is the time to say, Lord, help me to be a beacon of light in a time of darkness. May God bless you.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God.
As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was entitled, The Coronavirus. In the future, there will be a catastrophic event that forces every nation to surrender their sovereignty and accept a global leader, who will facilitate the creation of a world federation. It has been previously assumed that a nuclear war would be the trigger. But what about a deadly virus? What if a nation engaged in biological warfare research accidentally released a virus that spread throughout the world? That is the scenario being played out right now. The epicenter of the coronavirus is Wuhan, China. Biological warfare is nothing new and has been practiced for centuries when besieging armies launched infected bodies over the walls to weaken the defenders and decimate their numbers. The Nazis conducted chemical and biological warfare experiments on concentration camp inmates during World War II. And select men were shielded from prosecution in Operation Paperclip to aid the American weapons program. Only time will tell if the coronavirus becomes a pandemic. It could be the catastrophic event that launches the Antichrist to power. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1744. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.